From the moment you were born, your time on Earth is relatively short. The older we get, the more we understand that. And the more we understand that, the wiser we will be. Remembering that your life is short changes how you live out your days. It gives you a proper perspective on life that focuses on serving God with gratitude and faithfulness to the very end. And in serving God, you will find joy and purpose. Stephen called this lesson, Counting Down the Days.
We come today to Book 4, and it begins with the great psalm written by Moses, Psalm number 90. And I got to tell you, the brevity of life was on the heart and mind of Moses when he wrote this particular poem. Now, this poem is really about how short life happens to be. Now, of course, the classic verse in this psalm is here in verse 12. Moses writes, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom." Now, I don't think Moses is being pessimistic here, and I don't think he's joking either. If you take the time to literally count out the number of days you think you might have to live, that's going to have a profound impact on your heart developing in the area of wisdom. Now, at this point in our generation, the average lifespan, at least in our country, is right around 77 years of age. So let's just assume you'll live to be 77 years old. Well, if you do, how many days do you have left? Well, if you're listening to me and you're 17 years old, you have 21,900 days left. That's really too many numbers to keep track of. So let's do it according to months. If you're 17, you have 720 months left to live, if you live to be 77. If you're 21 years old, you have 672 months left to live. If you're 35, well, you have 504 months left. If you're 45, you have 384 months to go. If you're 55, you have 264 months left, and if you're 65, you have 144 months left to live. Now, if you're 75, you have 24 months left before you reach the average lifespan of 77. If you're listening to me and you're 85, well, you can just sit there and smile because you beat the average. You definitely, however, know that time is short. You can appreciate perhaps what Charles Ryrie, the author of the Ryrie Study Bible, once said. Dr. Ryrie taught several courses here at Shepherd's Seminary years ago when he was in his 80s. It was a delight to get to know him. He preached for me a few times. And one time he said in the pulpit that he was so old, he wouldn't even buy green bananas anymore. It was just too much of a risk. Well, there's a sense here, as Moses writes Psalm 90, that he wants us to start counting down the days. He even gives us an average number to use. He says right here in verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. So verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may develop a heart of wisdom. Now, I want to tell you, when I was around 40 years of age, I decided to put this challenge from Moses into a tangible, literal, physical exercise that I could see. Well, I bought a glass vase, which I keep in my office at home. I filled it with little green marbles representing how many months I had left to live if I lived to the age of 77. Each marble represented 1 month. And to this day, every month I take one of those marbles out and I throw it away to mark the passing of one more month of my life. And I want to tell you, when I was 40 years old, it seemed like a long time to 77. There were a lot of marbles. I counted them recently to make sure I had the right number in there, and I came up 12 marbles short, which represented one entire year of my life. So I counted them again. I still came up 12 short. Either I can't count or somebody's stealing my marbles. Well, what if it really means what if it means I'm losing my marbles faster than expected? Actually, I've been tempted to change the formula and make it 88 years. Well, my mother lived to be 88 until she passed away. Or I'm thinking of adjusting it to 92 years to count the age of my father. Well, I've actually decided to keep it at 77 years. And if I take out the last marble from that vase in my study and keep on living, I think I'm going to start putting in jelly beans each month to represent the extra time the Lord has given me to enjoy. Listen, this isn't a morbid exercise. It's biblical. Contemplating the brevity of your life, according to God's word, actually creates a perspective on life that helps you develop a heart of wisdom. In other words, when you realize how short life is, you're going to want to make wise decisions because you've only got one life. I recommend maybe you get your own vase and you do the same thing. And I got to tell you, when you live with a heart of wisdom, you only want what Moses wanted out of life. He describes it here for us in verse 17 at the end of this psalm. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. He says that because he knows all that matters in life is that God gives you something to do, something you can use to bring glory to him, and that's exactly what you want to do. Now, the next psalm opens with this thought in mind. This time, it's an anonymous poet who writes here in Psalm 91 in verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress. Now, he's not talking here about, you know, hitting cruise control and sitting back in the shade of God's protection. God doesn't offer us refuge so that we can crawl into some easy chair and get the TV remote out and our favorite potato chips. No, God is saying through this anonymous poet that seeking him as your refuge, it isn't about coasting through life. It's about having exactly what you need to do ministry in your life, somewhere in the world. And that ministry, that job, that role, that service happens to be in the presence and according to the power of God. And that's the best place to be. And with that, we come to Psalm 92. And again, the anonymous poet here leads us in singing here in verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, down in verse 4. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. In other words, let's sing with joy because of the work of God's hands. Think of the work of God's hands. Let me tell you, the hands of God are now nail-pierced. They are an eternal reminder of his suffering for our redemption. In fact, we're going to find that the only person in heaven with scars will be the Son of God. He redeemed us. He removed every scar from our bodies and our hearts, and every time we look at him, we're going to see those nail-pierced hands. You know, as I get older and those marbles, you know, they're getting lower and lower in that vase I still have on my shelf in my study at home, is God still interested in my life, my service, my worship? Oh, absolutely. No matter how many marbles you got left, he's always interested. I personally think one of the greatest lies perpetuated and pushed on people is that they ought to live their lives so that when they get old, they'll not have to do anything. They'll not have any work. They won't have to provide any service. They can just sit on the porch somewhere at the beach and look at the ocean, or they can spend the rest of their days, you know, collecting seashells or playing golf. What kind of final chapter is that? Is that really how you want to spend your last few marbles? You want to get isolated from people? You want to be removed from ministry, the church? You're going to keep to yourself in your own little world and at your own little porch swing? Well, the psalmist says here in this psalm and verse 12, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In other words, they're still following the Lord. They're bringing fruit in their older years. They're investing in people. They're praying for people. They're serving other people. No, they can't work as long as they used to. They can't walk as fast as they used to, and they can still walk at all. But the Lord says of them here in verse 14, they are still bearing fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. That is, they still have energy to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. Man, that's the kind of testimony I want to have as I get older. That's the righteous life. That's how you want to spend your life down to the last marble. Let me ask you a question. How many marbles do you have left? Or how many do you think you have left? If you lived to the age of 77, how many would be in that vase? Well, since you really can't know for sure, I want to encourage you to make sure you're using each marble, each month, each day to follow, honor, serve, joyfully represent the one who is your refuge, your rock, and your salvation. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on the Wisdom Journey. Stephen called this lesson Counting Down the Days. You have no idea how many days you have left, but you can use each one for the glory of God. So put into practice what you've heard today. If you haven't already, go ahead and add yourself to Stephen's text message list. Grab your phone and text the word wisdom to 833-676-4051. Do that now. Then join us next time here on The Wisdom Journey.